Torah gives the prophet, the Klal Yisrael will come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to say, we want to have a melech like all of the goyim. We want to have a king like all of the nations of the world. And Hashem says, fine, soim tasim alecha melech. You can have a king, but there are certain rules and regulations. Okay, there are certain rules and regulations about having a melech. Mr. Mills, is it cold? Are you okay?
No.
What?
Fine.
Okay, okay.
Fine.
So there are... Yeah, there are rules and regulations. A melech, number one, a melech is not allowed to have more than 18 wives. A melech is not allowed to have too much gold and silver. And a melech is not allowed to have too many horses. And then after it tells us the restrictions, it tells us what a melech must do. What must he do? He has to write the Sefer Torah. V'chos of lo is Mishnei HaTorah HaZois HaSefer B'lifnei HaKoyanim HaLeviim. And then it says he shall read. He shall read Kol Yimei Chayav. He shall read what it says. I don't have the Chumash here in front of me. It's not so good. Kol Yimei Chayav. He shall read what it says. Kol Yimei Chayav, what it says in the Sefer Torah. It almost seems to say that the Melech has a mitzvah, a private mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You know, an ordinary person, at Halacha L'maaseh today, after we discuss the whole Shalshelus HaDvarim, the entire history of Kriyas HaTorah, but we only, thank you very much, we only have to lane, on Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and Shabbos Mincha, and the Moadim, Rosh Chodesh the Moadim. It sounds almost like the Melech has an obligation to have a personal, private Kriyas HaTorah every single day.
Does he literally have to write the
Torah?
He has to write
two. Okay, so that's Rashi. We learned in the afternoon the Chumash Rashi Unkelis, and we had a massive discussion about this yesterday, what it says in Rashi, what it says in Unkelis, and what does Unkelis mean. Rashi has his take on Unkelis. The Oruch has a different, and it's a different, there are many, many opinions exactly what this pasuk means. Rashi is the main parish. He has to write two Sifrei Torah, a real Sefer Torah. Rashi doesn't say only the Chumash Devarim. Rashi says, seems to say the entire thing from Bereishis to through the Zeis HaBracha. One Sefer Torah he puts in Beis Gedazov, he puts away in his safe, and the other he carries with him wherever he goes. That's the simple reading of Rashi. Rashi understands the pasuk in the very Mishneids in the lashon of Shnei, two. Two Sefer Torah. Okay, there are other Meirushim, but that's not for now. But in any event, the Pashup Shad is he does have to write a Sefer Torah, and then it goes on to say, what does he do with the Sefer Torah? It says he should read. The Korubo Kol Yimei Chayav.
Does it mean he has to have a Seder?
It's not clear. You have to see.
The Torah doesn't come
to him. He does have other things to do.
It's really not clear exactly how often this is.
The Gemara discusses the site, it doesn't come to any conclusion. It doesn't know what, in the Sefer Torah that he has on his lap, is it a whole Sefer Torah, is it a partial Sefer Torah?
Right, that's
Torah?
What he just mentioned. Right. The Pasuk says,
or is that on his wrist?
On the Hayasa Imai, it will be within the Kora Vo Kol Yimei Chayav. It sounds like he has to read from it every single day. Now, again, us today, in the modern world today, we have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, not every day, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, Rosh Chodesh, and the Moadim. There's a mitzvah is a deraisa, but it's not deraisa. Moshe, we'll discuss in a moment, it's a two-part mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu made certain takonos, and Ezra HaSofer elaborated. What we have today is a combination of Moshe and Ezra, but it's not every day. Yeshiva should not go 3 days. The goal is that 3 days should not pass without reading from the Torah, and that extended the Shabbos Mincha and from the Moadim. But it says by the Melech, the Kora Vo Kol Yimei Chayav. What does that mean? Does that mean?
Does
how much by
Enochanami?
Does he make a bracha? Does he get an aliyah? They call him Yamoi. They take out the Sefer Torah. They have a kriyas and a bima. And he reads. We don't know. Now, okay, let's start again with this topic. Let's go back and bring out everything's gonna be a question. I'm gonna be interested. Just to have some ideas and some issues. Let's go to the Shalshelus HaDvarim of how kriyas HaTorah came about in Klal Yisrael.
Okay.
And we'll come back to what it says here in the pasuk in a moment. The first, when we left Mitzrayim, it was before Matan Torah. There was no Sefer Torah. But obviously, Klal Yisrael already received in Mora, they received mitzvahs, and while they were in Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu began to teach them Torah. So there was definitely, there were shiurim that were delivered. There were, Moshe taught Torah. And we have to appreciate the Talmud, that Kriyas HaTorah is the ultimate form of Talmud Torah Derabbi. When you come to shul and they lay in the Sefer Torah, this is Talmud Torah, the teaching of Torah. Derabbi, in front of a group of people, more than 10 people, in front of everyone, this is what Kriyas HaTorah is all about, Talmud Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Lamei Torah, the Klal Yisrael, while they were in Egypt. And the Medrash tells every Shabbos, he would gather them together and he would teach them mitzvahs, teach them concepts. When they left Mitzrayim, Hashem gave them a few mitzvahs, Achoydesh, Elohim, Rosh Chodashim. So the Klal Yisrael and Gotham Hashem were already accustomed to learning the Torah. Numerous examples of this. While they were in Egypt, when they left Egypt, they were accustomed to studying Torah. What happened? They came to the Yom Suf. It was the miraculous miracle of Kriyas Yom Suf, and they traveled in the desert for 3 days. Deloy Motsu Moyim. They traveled, or what's the pasuk? They traveled for 3 days. This is amazing. We have a living Torah over here. Vayelchu Shlosh Yom Bamidbar Deloy Motsu Moyim. There was no water, and what happened? They complained. They complain? How dare you complain? After all of the miracles that Hashem has done for you in this period of time, you're complaining after 3 days. You don't have water? So Moshe Rabbeinu understood that when you don't have Torah for 3 days, that's what happens. You can give a person everything. You can give him all of his entitlements and benefits and Social Security and the Section 8, and you name it. If you don't have Torah, you have what to complain about. Torah is Musa. We learned this morning, Torah means instruction. Some of the commentators learned that Torah, the more precise translation of Torah, is not halachic instruction, it's Musa. It's rebuke.
Now you say Rebbe Desler.
Lomnitz. Okay, but that's a different. That type of idea. But the point is, Torah. Moshe realized that without studying Torah, this indeed is what could happen. Even people who have everything, and now after 3 days, so he instituted at that point, never shall it be a time again in the history of the Jewish people that the Jewish people go 3 days without having a shear. You must have a shear every, and if there would have been a shear between the time we left the Yam to today, they would not have complained that there's no water. They would not have complained. They would have been in a better frame of mind. Just learning about the axe, goring, the cow, somehow, we don't know how this works, a magical way, it softens a person. It humbles a person. It puts a person in a different frame of mind where he appreciates what he has and is not going to complain with chutzpah to Hashem. So Moshe realized the reason why they complained was because he was teaching them Torah in the Egypt. He got them through that phase, that era, and now we are in the desert. And 3 days passed, and they didn't learn one word. They were just looking at their gold and silver that they collected from Mitzrayim and from the Yam. 3 days passed. The Daf Yomi stood still. Okay, they didn't advance.
Physical needs?
So, even physical needs. The whole world is a physical world. Even when you don't have what you physically need, so either you can be bitter and complain, or you have faith and somehow try to find the solution without the bitterness coming out. 3 days, it was because Hoy called Samir Luchula Mayim, we went for 3 days without Mayim. Mayim is a metaphor for Torah. That's why it happened.
It doesn't say Ve'imayim which goes on by the seller.
Yeah.
It only says by the Kushlo Shivim below Matsumayim. They were wondering what would be, but it doesn't say
in their canteens,
ran out of water.
They had in their canteens plenty of water, but they're already nervous about the future. There's
right.
A lack of emun. Okay, whatever it was, but Moshe was able to understand. See, we don't have that there. Today, we don't have psychologists that can really understand what's going on in our minds, how things work. Moshe was able to understand the complaint came from the fact that he let them go 3 days without giving them a daf yomi shir. And that's why this happened. So he made a takana. Never shall it ever happen again in the history of Klal Yisrael. They should go 3 days without having a shir. What's the shir going to be? We come to shul, and we're going to call up three people to the Torah. Each person is going to read one pasuk. One pasuk. Three psukim. Three people have to read one pasuk per person. And they'll lay a pasuk. Oh, the Jewish people will hear words of Torah. That's enough. Just three psukim within 3 days will be enough to set you straight. Okay, fast forward 3,000 years, maybe more, whatever the calculation is. Along comes Ezra HaSofer. Seems like nothing changed in 3,000 years. 3,000 years, Moshe was misaken Yulain three times, Yulain Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning. There was no laning Shabbos mincha. That never existed. Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, how much do you lay? You know, on Shabbos, also only three psukim. No such thing as only three people, three psukim. It's not exactly so clear what it was on Shabbos, but let's assume now one approach, three psukim. Now, by the way, I'll tell you in the Quran of Chiddush, how many people do you need, how many people have to get together to lay? This is not so similar to anything, it's controversial, but no, six people. I get number six, I'm not exactly sure. You don't need a million. When Moshe Rabbeinu was in the Sakim, bracha. I make a bracha. Asher bracha, banu, asher nosan lanu. You do not need 10 people. But you do need to have, I don't know where it comes from, the number six. I really don't know. It says over here six.
It's the cold road minion, because there are those who say seven.
Okay, but six, you don't need just six people. Somehow, Moshe was not in the Sakim that there should be a minion, a dover shabbat kedusha. His takana was people should get together, have a group together. It's called a rabbin. There's someone to differentiate between what's called a rabbin and a tzibur. A rabbin means just a collection of people, multiple people. How that number means six, I really don't know.
It has to be because they have to be right. Because
why
before
not two
they
people?
Had printing press. The only way you learn, what did they do in the time of the
they sat around.
They learned with a Sefer Torah.
Right.
So that's why they had to stand when they learned.
They all stood around
the Sefer Torah.
You could only fit six people around the Sefer Torah.
So they don't need a minion all the time to take out a Sefer Reed.
Don't need a minion. Just
for
six
Elias
people.
Maybe, whatever.
Later, Ezra was misaki. So this is what the original takana was. Three psukim, six people, and it has to be Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, so 3 days should not pass. This was the way it was, it seems, for 3,000 years.
But it missed the time.
What?
Yeshua found the Sefer Torah.
Okay, that was because they were Bali Avera. Okay, there were people that were troublemakers. They were Bali Avera, so they tried to manipulate the halacha. Along comes Ezra. 3,000 years later, he says, it's time now for an upgrade. No more three psukim. 10 psukim. 10 psukim. Monday, Thursday, 10 psukim. At least 10 psukim. And three people. And he was also misaking Ezra. This is his innovation. Kohen Levi Yisrael. By Moshe, there was no hakpada. Who gets the aliyah? You call whoever you like. Eni, mini, mini, mo. Whoever you like gets an aliyah. No Kohen. Ezra was misaking. We're going to do it in an orderly fashion. Three, be 10 psukim. Each one must lay at least three psukim per person. At least three psukim per person. Monday, and calling Levi Yisrael. Shabbos.
Didn't accept it?
What?
Sfardim didn't accept it.
Everyone accepted this. There were no Sfardim then.
Yeah,
Ezra?
They come today, they don't.
What do you mean they don't? Of course they do.
What do you call them?
Sfardim.
Who said?
No, he's saying right. He's saying give the chacham.
No, yeah, they do. They
okay.
Do
okay,
it normally. That's what they do.
Okay, he's saying good. Okay, so I hear. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but they also acknowledge. They also acknowledge the Kohen Levi Yisrael. Kohen Levi Yisrael, and when you have a Talmud Chacham in the room, so then you give the greatest Talmud Chacham. Okay, but they also acknowledge this appears to have been the innovation of Ezra HaSofer. Number two, Shabbos, seven aliyahs. Okay, this is one opinion. Some say Moshe was really misaking the seven aliyahs, but we'll say right now for the simplicity that it was Ezra that was misaking seven aliyahs, and also the Seder, the Sidra. It's not just 10 psukim. We're going to lay the entire Torah. throughout the year. We're going to learn the entire Parshas HaShavua, the Seder. We all know there were different cycles, the three-year cycle, three-and-a-half-year cycle, versus the one-year cycle. Bavel, it was a one-year cycle. The Eretz Yisrael said, with three-and-a-half-year cycle. It changed. At the time of the Bayi Sheni. What do you mean to the seven? Ten. And Ezra was Misakein, that no longer is it sufficient to lay when there's a rabbin of six people. Mikan Ulabad, you need 10 people. He made major upgrades in the laws of Kriya Satara. From three psukim, three people, to 10 psukim, 3 psukim a person. From 6 to 10 people. Shabbos, you must have the entire parasha, 7 aliyos. And you have to lay the entire Torah in a cycle throughout the year. And Eretz Yisrael, they did a 3.5-year cycle. Or maybe it was the other way around. I forgot which
one. The reason for the 3-year cycle, by the way, according to historical records, is that since there was a maturgamon, when there was such a thing as a maturgamon, it took so long.
It
would be phenomenal to
it would be too much.
Three and a half year
cycle. Fascinating.
It took too long. Once they stopped the maturgamon, they went back to a center a week.
Right. Okay.
Where was the maturgamon?
That's history.
I don't know. I think in Eretz Yisrael. I think Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael. I think in Babel it was always a 1-year cycle, and Eretz Yisrael it was a 3.5-year cycle. And the Babylonians won. Aramaic. Aramaic, Ugalus. Yes, in Eretz Yisrael they spoke Aramaic. They did not yet speak modern Hebrew until recent times.
But why did you have seven?
What? Moshe, that's another sugya. Moshe was talking 7 aliyahs. Yeah, yeah.
How much time between Moshe?
Moshe was a
Moshe and Ezra, I think 3,000 years.
How much?
3,000 years.
How could it be that much?
Moshe, they came in. Moshe was the Beis Hamikdash was built 480 years from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right. The Beis Hamikdash existed for 410 years. That takes us to 890. Golus, you're right. So I made a mistake. 1,000 years. Golus was 70 years. So it's about. I made a mistake. You are correct. It's about 1,000 years. I'm sorry. Not how am I saying? Today it's 3,000 years. I'm thinking about today. Parsha Shoftim. We're learning today Parsha Shoftim. It's a good parsha. Okay. So now here is what happened with Ezra. This was fast forward, and Ezra upgraded Kriyas HaTorah. Now here's what's very fascinating. This totally blew my mind. What about Shabbos Mincha? Where in the world did that come into play? Why do we lay Shabbos Mincha Kriyas HaTorah? Who established this? Did Moshe? No, it seems not. It says in the Gemara, it says the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. It seems established for what? For the Yoshvei Kronos. And that is a very bad translation. People make a mistake what that means. Yoshvei Kronos, most of us translate as the people, the later gates. People who have nothing, there used to be people that sit in the corner. Koron means the corner. They sit at the corner of the street. I remember the Lower East Side, the old days before there was internet. The Taka, the old fashioned Yoshvei Kronos. I remember them. I really do. They just sat there the whole day on the street corners on East Broadway by where the bakery is. On the next corner, there was like some benches in front of where Henrietta, that the music school. They was a long time. They sat there and they just walked the streets. And they were unfortunate. They unfortunately they had they were probably
they had no
Holocaust survivors. They're probably Holocaust survivors, and they had no money, no nothing.
Chess place.
And they just sat there. Yoshvei Kronos. Yoshvei Kronos. They just sat and did nothing the whole day. And they people would sit and they just schmooze on the street corners. That is certainly one interpretation, but that does not seem to be a more accurate interpretation. Rashi himself says the word koron means a wagon. It does not mean a street corner. It means a wagon. What do you mean a wagon? It means people who went to work, who worked there on their wagons, and they had to travel long distances, and they did not have a minyan on Monday, Thursday. Monday, Thursday, they daven be yechidus. They daven at the kosel because they're making a parnas to pay tuition. They got to be at work. They can't daven with the minyan. So they miss Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. They're good people. These people, they don't miss a daf. They don't miss a daf. They know Kol HaTorah Kula. They're good, solid, honest, learned people, but they miss Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday because they got to make parnasa. They can't daven with the minyan. So Chazal did the toiva. Tashlumin. This is what it says. Incredible. Rashi says Tashlumin. That on Shabbos, just like people who come out, people who came out of Corona, people that came out of Corona have lockdown. So people were in lockdown. So we missed how many parts? We missed the whole Chumash VaYikra practically more. So you come back. So everyone, what do you do now? Now we come back after Corona to shul for the very first time. What do we lay? So it was a big free for all. Where people, some shuls they lay everything, all the way back from the whole Chumash VaYikra. Some shuls lay nothing. Some shuls they followed strict halacha to a degree. You only can lay in the previous week's parsha. So you only can make up last week's parsha. You can't make up more than 1 week. That's pretty much, whatever, this is a different shir, different sugya of tashlumin in regard to Kriyas HaTorah. But listen to this, it's a shocking thing. According to the Chazal, the reason why, the ikar tam why Chazal were misakin Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos Mincha is a din of tashlumin for the Yoshvei Koronis who lost out Monday, Thursday. They did not hear Kriyas HaTorah. So we do it again. We give another laning for them to make up, not to make up for the words. That they didn't hear or they're not gonna hear. It's the principle. The principle of you're supposed to come together and listen to the Torah. We missed out. We wanna make up what we lost out. Let me give you an example. You're doing it in advance, you're doing it forward. You don't know what's gonna be the next week. Even though you're planning to go away the next week, are you required al pi halacha to take that into consideration? I don't know the answer. I don't know.
Doesn't matter what you
mean. I don't know. The bottom line is they certainly lost out last week. So they give them an opportunity to lane again. Let me give an example. I'm going to illustrate. I told this to Rav, and he told me I'm absolutely right, but I'm also absolutely wrong. I once spoke about this. Let me explain. Classic example of Tashlumin. Where does Tashlumin come from? Daven. If a person is an Oynis, and he was not able to daven Mincha Erev Shabbos, so what is the halacha? Friday night, you daven a double Shmona Esrei. You daven now. What do you daven? You daven a double Shabbos Shmona Esrei.
Right.
The first Shmona Esrei is Ma'ariv. The second Shmona Esrei is Tashlumin. What Shmona Esrei do you daven? The second Shmona Esrei, Shabbos. What do you mean? If I'm doing Tashlumin for missing Erev Mincha, I should be davening a weekday Shmona Esrei. Sorry, buddy, it's Shabbos. You can't daven a weekday Shmona Esrei. So why bother doing Tashlumin? Well, you miss a tefillah. There are two dinim in Tashlumin. You can miss what you lost, literally, exactly what you lost, and you can make up the concept, the principle of what you lost, without the details. You cannot make up the weekday Shmona Esrei, because now it's Shabbos, and you cannot under any condition recite a Shabbos Shmona Esrei, a weekday Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. But I lost a tefillah. Okay, that will help you with. So now, Friday night, first daven Ma'ariv, and then daven Ma'ariv again to make up the tefillah. Now here's the, let me give you the, let's say a person, I told this to a big rabbi, and he says, you're right, but you're wrong. What do you mean, right? Let's say, for example, the whole shul did not learn Parshas Bereishis. Okay, this happened the whole Chumash VaYikra, in the Corona. You did not learn Bereishis. The whole shul was away. Okay, it's now Parshas Noyach. So you're definitely allowed to make up one parsha. So what do we do? What does the Velt do? So you call up the Kohen. This is the standard procedure. You call up the Kohen, and we begin with Bereishis, Bara Elokim. You lay in the entire Bereishis, and the first Aliyah of Parshas Noach. That's what we do. That's standard procedure. Anytime you miss a parsha, you miss a parsha. A tzibur miss a parsha, you come the next week and you begin the last week's parsha, the beginning, and you lay the whole parsha, and then you lay one aliyah in the next parsha. That's the proper. That's what we do. If you miss, let's say you miss Bereishis, Lech Lecha, you can't go back to Bereishis. That's too late. Too late for that. You can make up Noach and Lech Lecha, but you can't go back to Bereishis. So I told the rabbi, the whole Makor comes from Tashlumin of Tefillah. Then you know what you should do? You should come to Shul, and you should lay Parshas Noach, seven aliyos, and then say Kaddish Yosef, Chatzi Kaddish, and then lay Parshas Noach again. Lay seven aliyos in the Sefer Torah, Noach again. You can't lay Bereishis. Bereishis is over. But you lost out. Oh, you lost out the experience of Kriyas HaTorah. So that we're going to recreate for you a second time. But what are you going to do? It's like Ma'ariv. We can't go lay daven at night weekday Shemona Esrei. You can't daven a weekday Shemona Esrei Friday night. You have to lay a Friday night Shemona Esrei. So it's Noach today. So we're going to lay Noach first for today. And then we're going to give you Tashlumin. We're going to lay Noach again to make up that experience. So this rabbi, he said to me, like his eyes popped out, he said to me, "You're 100% right. But that's not the minhag
olam." The reason you don't do it is because people think that there was a mistake when you read the first time.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, I don't know why. The olam doesn't follow, but the concept, it's true. Because all the poskim, the sugya of tashlumin, they take it from davening. Okay, they take it from the tashlumin of Kriyas HaTorah is learned from davening.
So
okay, but
you're missing out on Torah.
There are different elements. Can you give me Mafalpa? Okay, but that's good. So this is not this is just an example to explain the principle of Mincha, Shabbos Mincha. Shabbos Mincha, this is a shocking principle. I never knew. I know nothing, but this is an incredible idea. Shabbos Mincha is not Moshe and it's not Ezra. None of the above. The reason why we lay in Shabbos Mincha is Tashlumin. It's a din. And originally, you don't have to come to the reading of the Torah. Mincha will begin at 6:30. For you late games who missed it, those people who are frequent flyer club, the frequent flyer club, they should come 6:15 for a tashlumin for not hearing Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday. But for everyone else in the shul, we will begin the service at 6:30. For the frequent flyer club, you come 6:15. Because you missed it. Over time, yeah.
You missed the Tasha Shachris.
That was instituted for. That's not what it is. It was instituted specifically for the people that missed that. And what are they laning? They're not laning last week's parsha. They're laning what's the future because today is Shabbos. We already laned the parsha Shavuot. So what are we going to lane? We're going to go backwards. You don't go backwards. You go forwards. Unbelievable. It goes to prove my point.
Double center. Shouldn't you lane the one? The double center. What we have, we're missing the center because Israelites are different calendars.
Okay, that's a different topic.
So why should we lay the whole first center?
That's not Tashlumin. That's we're on a different calendar.
Yeah,
we're on a different schedule. That's not that. We're following our calendar. They're following theirs. Well, eventually we'll meet together. That's a different issue. We're talking about what you miss. What you totally miss. Okay, so let's go back. So this is the principle. The reason that was originally in a car, according to Rashi, means a wagon. People that were traveling. They daven b'yachidus. They would tell me they chacham. They would tzaddikim. And a bother them. We're missing the experience of Kriyas HaTorah. We can't help you. We can't go make it up for you. But what we can do, we'll give you at least one tashlumin, for one of them at least, for one, a Shabbos Mincha. You're going to lay them again. You're going to lay them again. What are you going to lay? Well, by default, you can't lay what you're laying. That's already too late. And you're not going to lay this week's parasha again. As why taka don't they lay? The end of the parasha. I guess this was a takan, you're going to lay now the next parasha. It's a din of tashlumin. Somehow, over time, in Golas, things get very confusing. It became accepted that everyone becomes a Yosef Kronos. Everyone, even the people that meticulously observe, go to Shuma Monday, Thursday, they also participate in the Kriya of Shabbos Mincha. This is how Rashi learns Yoshe Kronis. Others will tell you the Pshat Yoshe Kronis is nothing, is Chazal Meir Takana, because of the later gays. They're sitting around, talking Lashon Hara, schmoozing, and eating, and doing strange things. You guys, why don't you come into shul and learn a little bit? We'll read from the Torah, we'll give a shiur. Well, they originally read from Ksuvin, and then that became a problem, it backfired, so backfired them. It was made in order to the people that sat on the street corners and made trouble. It was a way to get them, put them in a different frame of mind. But that's not Rashi. Rashi learns it was for good, solid people who felt bad, pained. It's a din of tashlumin. Now there's an afnu l'halacha. The afnu l'halacha, now this gets very, it's very touchy, and a different opinion. We'll talk about this in a little bit more in a moment. What happens if you come to shul on a Monday morning, and is there a bal kriya here? Is there a bal kriya now? Have you ever go to those times like kids stay in those shuls? Where they make it announce, Koyein, Koyein, is there bal kriya? Anyone hear bal kriya? Like on Yom Kippurim, they come to Kol Nidre, they say, oh, we're going to read soon, Anu matidim lehisfalel imhu avaryonim. Is there an avaryon here? before we begin, Koyein, avaryon, oh, you're an avaryon, oh, okay, Kol Nidre, we now begin.
What's avaryon?
A sinner. You say, Anu matirin lehistalel imhu avaryonin. Oh, is there an avaryon here in the shul? We can't begin until we have a koyel in Yisrael and we have an avaryon. Hey, is there a bal kriya? And guess what? No one wants to come and read the Torah. You. No, not me. You. No one knows how to read. What do you do? What do you do if this mamish, no one that's willing to read, no one knows how to read?
Oh,
what do you do? So it says, no, so tap. There's something that's a chumash. No. The only reason why is in the cradle. You know why we don't learn from a chumash? What's the difference? Learn from a chumash. Why do you have to get a sefer Torah? Be mevaz the sefer Torah by talking. Just take out a chumash. Put the chumash on the bima. Didn't you once have a told me about a bal kriya? He opened the Sefer Torah, and he had on the Sefer Torah the Chumash. And he faked out the feast while he was reading from the Chumash on the Sefer Torah. Terrible, right? Terrible. Why not? So you know, the truth is, we really should. It's just not a covered with covered Hatzibur. It's not a covered Hatzibur to learn from the Chumash. That's the only reason why we don't do it. Me'ikar Hadin, you can create a Torah with a bracha, Chazal were misaking that you don't. Obviously, you have to make it only on Sefer Torah, but they could have been misaking to make a bracha from the Chumash. They chose not to. It's not covered at Torah. So someone has said because only covered at Torah in a situation where you don't have a Sefer Torah. You don't have a Sefer Torah, or go to an extreme case where no one wants to read from the Sefer Torah, then you should read from the Chumash. No bracha, no brachas, no brachas,
no.
No aliyahs, yeah. I don't think so. No aliyahs. Just read from the Chumash. Someone should read from the Bim and read from the Chumash because you have to read from the Torah. That's the Mekayin Takonas Moshe. 3 days should not go by without learning. You read from the Chumash. But we have a Torah in the Aron HaKodesh. Can we take out the Torah and someone will just butcher the words? We'll make mistakes that are beyond belief. So the halach is you should do that. You can do that. And better to do that. Knowing you're going to make mistakes that are not just little mistakes, big mistakes that will be mishaneh the meaning of the word, and what you'll be basically saying will make absolutely no sense. Believe it or not, the halacha is that's what you should do. You should learn from a Sefer Torah knowing you're going to make major mistakes. This is the sheet of many Rishonim. We're going to discuss. I have all the makaros over here. I'm forgetting this. We have the Mechaber, the Ramah. This is the Medrash. It's a Medrash. This is a Yerushalmi. I'm getting Vidigloi Olai Ahava. Mamish, the Yerushalmi says this. The Medrash says this. The Medrash says this explicitly. Vidigloi Olai, my flag upon them. The literal translation is the Degel. The Degel, Vidigloi Olai Ahava. Hashem has a flag. The flag of Hashem for the Jewish people is love. It's a flag of love. He puts his flag of love upon the Jewish people. Chazal make a drasha. It's not degel, but it's dilug. Al tikri degel, or dilug is to skip. Even if you lane, you lane and you skip, when you skip, now what does it mean skip? There are many, many interpretations, many, a lot of controversies about how far you can go in this idea, but the Medrash basically says if you lane Aaron, if you lane, just to give you examples, Aaron Oroin, you don't say the hey at all. And you say, instead of saying Aaron HaKohen, you call him an ark, Oron, which is a totally different, it's a word, it's not a name of a person, it's the name of an object, an Oron, or Horon. The Medrash gives a couple of examples. And basically, some of the commentators are very liberal in interpreting the Medrash, which means anything goes. According to the Medrash, any mistake that you make, and the Medrash explicitly says, even though when they read the Torah, they make mistakes that are beyond belief, they butcher every single word, Hashem says, V'digloi olai ahava, I accept it. I love them just the same. Which is interpreted to mean, Yoytze the Kriya. Yoytze the Takana of Moshe and Ezra of laning from a Sefer Torah with mistakes that are beyond belief. Taking out the Sefer Torah, going through the motions, trying to read the words the best that you can, even though you really mess it up as bad as it can possibly be, as long as at least you try to say the letters of every single word, at least you try to say the letters and you don't skip words, don't skip letters, and try your very best. V'digloi olai ahava. Even though in essence you skipped, you were medale, you skipped letters, you skipped vowels, you skipped words, the word v'digloi is literally interpreted to mean you made mistakes that no one would even believe are possible to make. Noyach with seven errors. How do you spell Noyach with seven errors? I once wrote an ad in a journal, and I was so they rejected the ad. They rejected the ad. I basically it was like I was working on a journal, and I copied the idea from some another journal that I saw to thank the proofreaders. And the goal of the ad was to make as many mistakes. to make as many mistakes, and it was real. I thought I have it somewhere. I thought it was very, very. It was very good, and I signed it. Noyach, or when I signed it, Noyach from the Teva. That was like, you have to sign the ad. So we want to thank everyone, you know, for such a great job. You know, all these crazy mistakes you can possibly make, and then we signed. And if there's any a toast, had the fun. Toss out the first. And then I signed it Noach from the Teva. And I spelled Noach with more than seven mistakes. And I was so they rejected the end. They don't want to put it in. You know why? Because it's true.
The example that they give is because Bisa is the same letter.
Ah, right, Bisa.
Bimata bias bios Moshe.
Bimosha. This is a Medrash. The Medrash is not accepted in halacha. We'll discuss it in a few moments. What is the halacha? We do not accept this Medrash la halacha. If you know that you're going to make mistakes, then you're in a lot of trouble. You have to go back, you have to correct if you can correct. But here is the chiddush. In a situation where you have no alternative, you're in a place, no one knows how to read, and the best you can possibly do is to open up and to just try to go through the letters and make the best according to the Medrash, that's what you should do. And la halacha, that's what you do, and you can make a bracha, and you shine a bracha achroina, and you yoytze with a bracha, Shem Malchus, Takonas Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell you to be perfect. He didn't tell you have to be perfect. You do the best that you can. Unbelievable chiddush to say such a thing. Now here's the chiddush, here's the nafkamina. Do you do the same thing Shabbos Mincha? You come to shul Shabbos Mincha, and there's no one that knows how to read. They take out the Sefer Torah, Baal Kriya. Anyone here Baal Kriya? And no one wants to come up. You know what you do? You wrap up the Sefer Torah and put it back in the oven. And you don't lane. If you can't lane without making mistakes, Shabbos Mincha, don't bother. Because this laning is a lightweight lane. You can say such a thing.
Right.
It's a different takana. Laning of Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos is one level.
But you can help the person.
Of course. If someone, of course, if someone can read along with you and say word we've been from before, of course.
I guess that's where our formulator came in.
That's what they did.
Of course. Some people did a l'chatchila.
Yeah.
But if you are in, and it happens, such situations, no one can read. And then, what do? So during the weekday, do the best you can. You can make a bracha. The yotze. The digloy alaychan. But Shabbos mincha, skip it. Because the laning of Shabbos mincha is not on the level of obligation as the laning of Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. Now here's the next issue. Is there a difference between Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos with regard to making mistakes? So as far as making mistakes, so the answer is there is an argument to be made that Shabbos is more chomor for one very simple reason. Shabbos, there is a goal of not just learning Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, but completing, being mashlim the parasha. When you mashlim the parasha, you gotta get every word. You gotta get every word, every pasuk, you gotta get the whole thing. If you're gonna make one mistake, you got a problem. So if a person makes a mistake, you have to correct him. You made a mistake, we're here to be yoytze the kriya. If we can do it, though sometimes you can't always, it's not always practical, these things, depending on where you're down and what the situation is. But Monday, Thursday, it appears there's a lot more ground for leniency if you at least get in 10 psukim that are kosher. Because Monday, Thursday, there's no goal to lane a parsha, hashlama. Shabbos is the sidra. There's the seder. We're on a mission. The mission is we're going to start with Bereishis, and when the year is over, we're going to go through the entire Torah, every single word. We have a mission. Monday, Thursday, there's no mission. Monday, Thursday, the reason why we're reading is because we have to learn Torah. It really doesn't make a difference if we learn today Parashas Vayetze, if we learn on Monday, Thursday Parashas Vayetze, or we learn Parashas Hazinu. The goal is to hear words of Torah. Moshe demanded 3 psukim. 3 people, 3 psukim. Ezra said, I want 10 psukim. So let's say you have a kriya. Look at you, go count every kriya. Many kriyas, you have 20 psukim, 15 psukim, 13 psukim, 25 psukim. Okay, every kriya, Monday, Thursday, has a different number of psukim. Count the psukim. And if you can count in the psukim that 10 psukim have been laid with no mistake, even though you have maybe 2 psukim where the Valkyrie, he made a mistake where it's mishane, the meaning of the word, it's okay. Because the goal of Takana is to lay 10 psukim. If you've laid 10 psukim correctly, you have achieved the mission, even though there were other psukim that were read that were not correct. So if you can assess, and it is a tremendous finish, we have a Valkyrie. And about Kriya, you look at radio, let's say there are 15 psukim in the reading of Monday, Thursday. And you assess in the 15th psukim of Monday, Thursday, that about Kriya, he has a tendency to make on average 2-3 mistakes. So the statistics are, he's going to make 2-3 mistakes, you're going to still get in, you're going to get in 10 psukim. So don't bother to correct him. If this guy's scorecard, okay, he has a scorecard, Google is keeping track. Alexa is listening to everything. Alexa, when he goes up, the rabbi looks at his app, and the app says, this guy, Alexa monitors him throughout the entire world. Analytics throughout the entire world, and Alexa says, this guy's scorecard is, he's going to make 2 mistakes. And the pasuk said, there are 15 psukim. But if he makes 2 mistakes, you're still going to have 10 psukim. Alexa says, let him go. I've done the analytics for you. Let the guy go. This is a special rabbi app. Only you have to be a card-carrying member of the RCA to get your hands on this app. It uses artificial intelligence. Big Brother is watching. They know everything about your balabatim. Before the guy comes to ask the question, is my oven kosher? The app says, listen, it's a smart oven. We know exactly what's going on in that oven. Straight. You think it's a joke? This is no joke. Yeah, this is what's going, the world is coming to very soon. Yeah.
I wanted to see, I mean, when you started this, I wrote down because that's what I thought you were going to maybe say. If you have Zvekka, your mind has Zvekka. If you only lay three times a week, you realize that Chachamim was saying that you're spinning your wheel, you're losing a day. It's 7 days in a week, you're only laying three. You're minus one at the end of the week.
Yeah.
So if you're laying four, at least you're 1 day ahead. In other words, they were sakin minta after they said, if you have Zvekka, your mind has Zvekka. So they added
a four to laying.
I'm just throwing it out there.
So this is important. This is important. So this is a very another important difference. So we're laying out over here three, we're laying over here, laying in this, it was Moshe. Then comes Ezra. Then there's a new takon of Shabbos Mincha. Of Shabbos Mincha, Yoshvei Kronos. There's a difference between the severity of Shabbos Mincha on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos. Even between Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, there's a different level of severity in that Shabbos, there's a desire to have hashlama of the whole parsha, part of the process of the whole Torah. Whereas Monday, Thursday, it's just 10 psukim. If you can get through 10 psukim, not necessarily. Now, the meaning of Yisrael, no one's going to rock the boat. It has to be those psukim. But the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is a tremendous chiddush. No one says, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that if you come, you have a psul Masechet Torah. You open it and it's possible. So he says, roll it to a different chumash. We're now in Devar. You find the psul. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, so roll it back to Bamidbar. And laying any parsha in Bamidbar, it's a different chumash. Each chumash can stand on its own for this. That's a tremendous chiddush to say that no one says that. Yeah. Someone's what? No. Someone knows that Bamidbar parsha is not the parsha shul. No.
He probably doesn't know his parsha really.
It seems that when it comes to laying. It's, I hear what you're saying, maybe, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I can't lay in this, I didn't see that child energy. I can't lay in this, I can lay in something else. So it's better to have Torah, especially if it's not Monday, Thursday. Let's say Monday, Thursday. Monday, Thursday is much more lenient. Because Monday, Thursday, it's Monday, Thursday. I hear the question, it sounds very reasonable. It's no worse than if there's a psul in the Sefer Torah. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says they should go to a different chumash because they're each one can stand on its own. So here you're gonna make many mistakes, and the din is only, it's not whole parish, it's just 10 psukim. I hear the argument. I don't know the answer. You got to ask the big rabbi. See what you're saying. It sounds like a good argument.
No, then you wouldn't be the mitzvah of laying the Torah in a year.
But that's right. That's saying only Monday, Thursday.
Yeah. Monday, Thursday, right.
Shabbos, no.
I think
Shabbos
the to say that it's possible is that, let's say, like this past week, you lay in Rosh Chodesh, you didn't lay in the parasha of the Shavuot. You lay in Rosh Chodesh, it takes precedence. Shabbos, you don't do that. You lay
right.
It also, but you're still laying the parasha.
Right. Unless
the Gemara discusses that exact problem.
There's a Shabbos is a different type of laying. It's also Talmud Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu in Israel. But there's a different element of Shabbos which changes the equation, that the goal is Hashlama. The goal is that at the end of the year you should have laid through the entire Torah.
Right.
It has a different element which changes the halacha, changes the equation. Okay, now, halacha l'maisa, let's say we have a Baal Kri that's good enough and goes on laying and he makes a mistake. So what are the rules? What are the rules of correcting? So there are many opinions on this. There is the Shita, I told you the Medrash. The Medrash says, make all the mistakes you want, it doesn't make a difference. The digloy olai ahav. Digloy, make a drush of digloy of dilug. They play with the word. It means making a mistake. It's okay. Hashem loves you just the same. Almost no one accepts that as a halacha l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch, the mechaber, is very, very machner. And I'm assuming that the Sfarim are so machner. I don't know. I don't doubt him in the Sfarim. I have no idea what goes on there. I almost never doubt him in these minyanim. But according to the mechaber, if you make a mistake, any mistake, even a mistake that is not mishane the meaning of the word. Some are like names. Let's say you mispronounce a name. It doesn't make a difference. Okay? Or you mispronounce, there are many types of mistakes where it doesn't really change the meaning of the word. According to the Mechaber, you must repeat.
Right.
You must correct and you must repeat. Any mistake, it has to be perfect. No matter what. The Ramah writes, no, We don't do that in Ashkenaz. By us in Ashkenaz, the only time you correct, and you go back, is only a mistake that changes the meaning of a word. And also, there's another leniency. If you swallow a letter, you don't go back. Many people, they lay and they swallow letters. They swallow yuds and olives and hays. They mumble a little bit. If you swallow a letter in Ramah, it doesn't change anything. You swallow, even after they count, whatever, what happens if you don't say, let's say, B'nei Yisrael, you live with the Vav, U'v'nei Yisrael. Vav, the Vavs. Many say you don't correct for that. Oh, but you left it a letter, you have a letter, you mamash a letter.
Of course, B'di'ev.
But it's not only B'di'ev, the question is, you're in shul, and the Baal Kri makes this mistake, do you shout? Do you call out? The Gabbai calls out, you have to correct him, do you correct him or not? Okay, so a lot of people are ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They got volume. Don't correct on an ace and an S. You're not supposed to correct for that.
So Leitzik said his grandfather, the Payan, used to correct the Baal Kaida even with the truck.
Oh, well, that's the Gra. That's the Chaya. No one mamish says that, but the Gra is extremely machmir. The Gra is in a league by himself. He's even more machmir than, okay, there are many levels of chumash.
Because there are a lot of times where it changes the meaning if you...
No, but even when you go, let's say we have the biggest mumchanat. The gra was even more machmir than the mechaber. Okay, there are many pratim, there are many different levels of chumash. The minhag hagra is you have to correct for everything. Now, there's a very big debate and dilemma, how far does that go? What about the ta'ame hamikra? Let's say the Baal Kriya, instead of laying a Dargah severe, he lays a Munach Rivi'i. Instead of Dargah severe, he lays Munach Rivi'i. Let's say you make that mistake. Do you correct him according to the Gra? Well, there's a big dilemma. Some hold, yeah. Because the Trop, the Ta'ame HaMikra, is a Chelek of the Perush of the words. It's a different expression.
Before the printed version, it was all oral. Yeah.
It still is all oral.
But we have a printed now, so...
Even before the printing press, they were the codex, the Aleppo codex. The Aleppo codex is the oldest, is one of the oldest, is the Lemberg codex. It's also, I think it's even older than the Lemberg codex, if I'm not mistaken, maybe not. But the Aleppo codex, these were way before the printing press. These go back more than 1,000 years. Of course, they have every Nakuda, every truck. You can even see it online. They have the whole thing online. In the Israel Museum, they have photocopies of the Aleppo Codex. You can see all the dots in the Ta'ameh HaMikra, and this was the preservation of the Mesorah. There's Ben Osher, there were two Mesorahs, Ben Osher and Ben Naphtali, two families. There were two families that were experts. The Lemberg Codex is the Naphtali. Our tradition today, we will follow the Ben Osher, and that's the oldest one that we have is the Aleppo Codex. The Rambam seemingly said that his Sefer Torah, he wrote a Sefer Torah, and it was based upon the Aleppo Codex. We assume it's the same Aleppo Codex that he's referring to over there. But in any event, there is, like, I'll give you a classic example of Perish. This is the classic of Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni. What's the trump for that? Vayigash elav Yehuda. Vayomer bi Adoni. That's Kadmov Yazlo. Yehuda is a Rivi'i. Zarka Munach Segol. What is Kadmov Yazlo? To go forward. Kadmo means to go to move forward. Yehuda came near, he exerted himself, the trop is Kadma the Azla, he exerted himself by going forward. Why? Rivi'i, he was the fourth son of Yaakov. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. The reason why on the word Yehuda is a Rivi'i, because he was the fourth son. Why? Because he did not want to be driven away from the Am Sigula. Zarka is Zoyrek, and Segol is Sigula, special. So the Yehud Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayoymer Bi Adoni, Yehuda exerted himself in front of all of the other brothers, even though he was the fourth brother, because he felt the responsibility for what has happened and did not want to be thrown away from the Am Segula.
Like stage cues.
Right, the trop is a perish on the pasuk. The trop is a perish. Now, of course, what about the mil el mil ra? That can change the meaning. Okay, v'rifka ba'a, v'rifka ba'a. These are past tense, present tense. These certainly, even according to the Ramah, you have to repeat the pasuk, repeat the word if you make a mistake. That's certain according to the Ramah. But what about the trop? So basically, there are different levels of opinion. You have halacha l'maisa. You have a spectrum. You have a spectrum. Sometimes you go to a shul, and that's just the way it is. You can't go to a shul. That's the way it is. In this shul, the way it is the Baal Kriya makes mistakes, and no one cares, and they just do what they do, and that, it's fine. What are you going to do about it? Yeah, you sumich on the Medrash. V'diglo yolaya hava. You might say, what are you going to do about it? You're going to go to a shul, you're going to run around shul hopping the whole day. Then you have shuls that like people that are like from the Gra people. The Chumrah of the Gra. You make a mistake, they're going to hang you up and pull out your toenails. If you make a mistake. And they're going to chap you, they're not going to tolerate a mistake on the trop. You make a mistake on the Mil'el Mil'ara. Shvanach, Shvanach. They'll be talking about you forever. They're not going to tolerate this. And then you have shuls or somewhere in between. You have the Beis Yosef. Basic mistakes. You don't have to be so makbid in every little thing, but don't make mistakes that stand out. Pronounce everyone's name correctly, even though it's not ma'akev. Okay? You know when you're in an audience, when someone calls your name and they pronounce it very, no one knows, I go by the Goyim, no one knows Ephraim. Ephraim. The Goyim do not know how to pronounce that name, Aliza. A Goy does not know, there is no Goy in the world who knows how to pronounce the name Aliza. Aliza. Any Jewish girl that has the name Aliza, anyone whose wife's name is Aliza?
Okay,
so they call, what do they call her? Aliza, by the Goy. The Goy, there's no Goy in the world that knows how to pronounce the name Aliza. They all say Aliza. Ephraim, it's an African American, it's a popular name, but after it's spelled differently. So they call Ephraim. Because they right away think it's Ephraim, which is a very popular name by African Americans. Okay, whatever it is. But listen, you don't like when someone mispronounces your name, even though you know who it is. It's not Makir. That's their Mesoira. That's a different story. Just stick with your Mesoira. Just be consistent. Don't play games. If this is your Mesoira, stick with it. Just be consistent with your Mesoira. But wherever you are, your shul, this is the Mesoira. The Beis Yosef is not tolerant, does not suffer fools gladly. The Beis Yosef. You make a mistake, it doesn't make a difference what kind of mistake you make. You make a mistake, you're out. Correct the person, shout at him. The Ramah is very lenient. Ashkenazim were the most lenient, yet the Litvaks, they're very tough. It's funny. The Ramah is probably from the most lenient of all the opinions, and yet by the Litvaks, they're out for blood. They're out for blood.
Right.
You make a mistake, they're going to get you. Okay, by the Litvaks, you really don't have to correct a lot of things. Unless you're absolutely certain that it makes a change in the meaning of the word, or you leave out a word for sure, we're not talking about that, but there's a lot of leeway. The Ramah gives you a lot of leeway. But the Ramah does add one very important thing, that when the Kriya Satori is over, it's over, Goyarin Boy, even for Trump, the Ramah is unique. The Beis Yosef says, don't let him get away with it. The Medrash says, what difference does it make? The Ramah says, B'shas Maisa, when he's laning, let him go. Let him make mistakes. As long as they're not water bugs. Okay, as long as the mistakes are not too big. But when the laning is over, Goy Arim Boy. The rabbi calls him and says, I have to shout at you 32 times because you made 32 mistakes.
Any embarrassing?
Not publicly. Goy Arim Boy, you shout at him after the Kriya Satori, the next time we're not going to tolerate this. You don't improve that we're not going to accept it. There's a very unique Ramah. Ramah says, "Bishasmai, so we let you get away with it. But after the landing is over, we warn you, don't do this again, because if not, you're going to continue in this fashion, we're going to get a different Malkiah. We're going to fire you." That's a very interesting concept, how the Ramah, there's a tolerance and there's no tolerance. There's something which is something. I'll say an interesting story. I know I went to my brother once in Lakewood a while ago, and the rabbi and we went to shul. My brother says to me, we daven shul and Shabbos in the local shul. These are all very stark B'nai Torah. They're very good people in that shul. He doesn't daven anymore. But in that place, we used to daven there when he lived in this place at that time. Very, very chosh, very choshmin. He says to me, by the way, are you makbid on Kriyas HaTorah? I said, I don't know, I go to shul every Shabbos, what are you talking about? What do you mean? What do you well, if you're very, very makbid, you should know that you might not be yoytze tomorrow's Kriyas HaTorah. I said, what? He says, tomorrow in the Kehillah, it's a choshva Kehillah. About 100 people daven in the shul at least. He says, there's a bar mitzvah tomorrow on Shabbos. And I heard the bar mitzvah boy lame this Monday in shul. He lame Monday. It's not so good. So I said, so the rabbi lets him lame? Doesn't the rabbi test him? He says, yeah, the rabbi does. The rabbi actually does test, doesn't let anyone lame. But there's a rule in the shul. The rule is when there's a bar mitzvah, if it's a regular Shabbos, we're out for blood here. We're out for blood. You get up there, you're finished. But when there's a bar mitzvah boy, the rule is, this is the rabbi's rule, the rabbi only, he made the rule, no correcting no matter what. Unless it's like, out of the ballpark home run mistake. He makes a mistake, no matter what. No matter how bad the mistake is, there is no correcting.
What?
Let it go. That's the rabbi. The rabbi, that's what he wants. That's what the rabbi wants. So the oilim here, you're not yoytze? If you feel it bothers you so much that you're not yoytze, so go down in somewhere else that Shabbos. Or, b'soymech, on the medrash, v'digloy olai ahava. It's not the rule in other shul, it's not the way to do it in Flatbush. In Flatbush, if you make a mistake, they're going to correct you. The Bar Mitzvah boy. But he says, that's the rule, that's the rabbi. So we don't correct by a Bar Mitzvah boy no matter what. And I'm warning you, I heard him laying this Bar Mitzvah boy Monday, and it's going to be one of those weeks. So I said, if it's good for the rabbi, good for you, it's better for me. It's even better for me. I'm fine. I was blown away. I never heard something like this before. The rabbi says, listen, Bar Mitzvah boy, you let him go. I tested him. It's good enough. He's good enough. He wants to lame. It's an experience for him. He wants to lame. I tested him. He's good enough. He'll make a couple of mistakes. Don't disturb the momentum. There's a momentum when you lame. A Bar Mitzvah boy is nervous. He has his family there. There's a momentum. Let it go. That you never miss. That you're not supposed to correct, according to Ramah. Never. The Mechaber, according to the Mechaber, did you correct that? I guess you do, according to the Mechaber. Okay, that's so. Going back to the pasuk, the melech has to lame. The melech, the korban kol yemei chayav. What's his kriyas haTorah? I don't know. After we have all these different dinim in the kriyas haTorah of a week, we have to now go back and figure out what was the difference of the melech.
Today, yeah. Your side of
my grandmother. So I'm going to say kaddish. My Nechama bas Ephraim David.
I don't want to. I understand that's why some people don't, you know, they test it beforehand and they want to come out. Welcome back. Everybody was laying it. Was about Vince's death, and the Rebbe sold everybody to stay in the lane again after Bar Mitzvah boy went home, and the Yaitzah was that bit. And then there are shuls that they, you know, it's a difficult pill to swallow, but they, I saw this year when I was with my son for Shabbos, they made a hashgama minyan. Of course, the rabbi told him, I mentioned, told the family, that he's not going to let them, the boy lay in the main minyan. So they made a family minyan with a few extra people, so they had 20 people if they wanted to, you know, suffer through the indignities. But you're right, my father would never let that go. You know, but I, the point is, that's what happens sometimes. And you have allowances.
Okay.
I try to get online. It had to heal online.
I have a Hebrew. How do you type it? Some of them have. Why don't you? My keyboard goes Hebrew. You can search, and then you can instruct it step by step. You have to see the line. And then on the bottom of the screen, the key just chooses off the alphabet. Maybe letter by letter. Some of them do. Some of them on the screen. Letter by letter. No, I mean, you just gave you their Hebrew name to, you know, you have a chance of. Yes, so send me the email. I have five names.
My parents, my wife's parents, and my brother.
Send me the name and send me the link for each one. Send me the names.
Yeah.
And I'll send you the link for each one of those names. No, it's not okay. It's not
easy for you.
It's easy for you also.
Listen to me. I'm going to say it again. Do you know where the bathroom is in my house? No. I know where it is. It's very easy for me. It's not easy for you. It's the same idea.
Okay, so I'll help you.
Yeah, I would just help you.
I'm confident I can help you with this. I don't know
what it was. It said, first of all, I for a sick, the same that I came up with someone sick. But you put in the name, and it had me. I couldn't even.
That is, I didn't know where you were going with this. Excellent. What was his name? Oh, you don't know his name? Okay.
I was at the same place. I'm down to see the side. I think I'm going to see the side.
had a very good, very good. I see that everybody's having a great time. You saw he sent pictures from my assets from
over the last 24 hours, there are two different research to show one says that the Pfizer is the best way to go. Johnson's Johnson, what's the Moderna? What do you believe?
This information,
it used to be that it was subtle or it was a little spin. There's no spin in the whatever you want. They have so much plastic and ribbons that are just all through this corporation. And someone just developed a way of taking the plastic and making bricks out of it.
Oh, I see.
The user, what do you do?
I'm afraid to look at the news on
I know.
You see that Biden is not a controller out of the country. So we just...
It's in the emotion, not because of the sheer we did today, but I'm talking to Rabbi Levine now. He was just telling me right away, because I told him, the Gemara said this in particular, the only one thing that absolutely must go back and repeat the word is like when you say, I said it to the Gemara, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Acher. Then you gotta go backwards. But I think it's 15 things that are listed in the Gemara there that you must go back when you say something that's apikursis. That it's a must. But it's very funny because one of the chats, two guys were going back and forth at it, and one guy insulted the other person pretty good, and he said, "If I offended you, I'm sorry, even though I'm right." Rabbi Levine is laughing. He said, "So what do you mean?" The other guy answered him, "What do you mean if?" He said, "You don't say if, like that, because there's a motion texted him a whole page of in the tefillah that we said if, all the in all the things." All right, Moshe, I'll go. Bye. Okay. Bye. Wow. Okay. That's a very usable, it's apropos of a lot of things that happen. This lady, when I first got married, so it was where I was, Rabbi Zuckerman, so he made his puppet throat, and he told everybody to stay here for the puppet throat, so the family's at home, playing again.
Woo!
I laid one time in shul, what I did was, because I wanted, because people didn't show up and we didn't have a minyan on Shabbos. So I did that. I laid the whole parish. The next week it wasn't thanked Baruch Hashem. Otherwise, I don't know if I would have gotten away with it. parsha that we missed was not a very long parsha. It was part of it. But we lane the whole parsha until the end of the next aliyah. I said, that's what's going to happen if you don't show up. I felt it was appropriate to do it because I was talking to guys. In other words, if they were poshea by not coming. So I felt that was it. It was not the old, I couldn't do that for old men. But it was the young guys who didn't show up. They tolerated it. Now I'm the old guy. You know, they have a little, you know.